You know, when you think about being thankful to God, that shouldn't be just one day a year. It really should be a lifestyle for believers. And so today I'm going to talk about how can we make it a lifestyle. I know this week we're going to have a chance to put into practice what I'm going to share with you today, but I want it to go beyond Thanksgiving Day. I want it to go into the next week and the next week and all through Christmas and all through the next year. We need to live a life of gratitude, right? And so today we're going to look at some stories that talk about that. One of the things that we're going to take from these stories is not just being thankful, not just saying that we're thankful, but showing it, right? You've heard the phrase, you know, if you love me, show me. Wives, is that right? Huh? Have you ever told your husband, if you love me, why don't you show me you love me? Well, the same is true for being thankful. If you're thankful, don't just say it, spray it. Show it, right? Show it. The Bible is full of examples of people who did and who did not do that. We're going to look at a few of those today, and then hopefully we can walk away with some thoughts of how can we develop, if it's not already a lifestyle for us, how can we develop that? How can we cultivate gratitude as our attitude every day? Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to our hearts and show us the things that are right and show us the things that we need to be better at. And I think one of those for all of us would be to be more thankful, but also to show it to you and to show it to others. Have your way with us today. Speak to our hearts and give us a heart to respond in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Now, if you're in the under 40 crowd, that's half of our church. Yeah, Chance. Chance just turned 40, so he's over the hill now. But millennials, Gen Zers, there's a word that you've been labeled with for a long time. Starts with an E. It's the word what? Entitlement. Entitlement. Those who feel like everyone owes them something or they deserve something better, or they deserve something more, or they deserve something right now. And before the over 40 crowd says yes and amen to that, listen, we're to blame because we created that environment for that generation. If you think back to the baby boomers, I'm not sure if there was one after that. There was something after baby boomers, but I'm a baby boomer. Huh? Gen X. So what happened was we were working so much trying to live the American dream that we weren't at home a lot, and the divorce rate went up a lot, and we tried to make up by giving our kids everything they wanted and never saying no. So we kind of created that attitude in that next generation, didn't we? And so, or we overprotected them. There's a funny video out by Brad Stein that says, it came out probably 20 years ago, says, wear a helmet, right? And he talked about how when he was growing up, they didn't wear seat belts. We didn't need seat belts. We were running all over the car going down the highway, right? And when we rode bicycles, we didn't wear helmets. Are you kidding me? And the plate, we slid down metal slides, not plastic slides. And so who would agree? You grew up in an era like that, right? You remember that? But things have changed, and I think what we've created in the next generation is this thought that someone's always going to take care of me, they're always going to protect me, and I'm going to be rewarded. You know, everybody wins a prize. We've kind of created that mindset. Today I want to talk about, though, the opposite of that, and that's gratitude, having an attitude of gratitude. Let's look at Luke chapter 17. Starting in verse 11, it's a story about 10 men who received something from God and how they responded. Starting in verse 11, it says, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee, and as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him, and they stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Now, I brought a picture of a man with leprosy. These 10 men had leprosy, one of the most painful diseases physically, but also emotionally, because no one wanted to be around you. It was just, you know, at the top of the mountain for rejection and feeling isolated and alone and lonely. And these 10 lepers heard that this man coming through town could possibly heal them and get rid of that thing. And so you could imagine, they're hopeful. They're excited about what Jesus might do. Look at verse 14. When he saw them, when Jesus saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. All 10 of them. They were healed. They received a miracle. Their greatest dream, their most prayed prayer had just been answered. Watch 15, verse 15. One of them, everybody say one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. And he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Notice that this one out of 10, this one who wasn't expected to show thanks, did. He showed his gratitude. Not only was he thankful, but he took the time to show it. Verse 17 goes on to say, Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Say, the other 9. Was no one of those 9 found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? So, before we jump on the 9, I think if we were honest, we could all say we've been that way before. We've been like the 9 and not the 1. When God's done something good for us, you know, we come to church, we pray, we worship, we have a need, we pray, God meets our need, he answers our prayers, and we kind of go on about our business. We're not always good to show our thankfulness, show our gratitude. And it might be because we're too busy. Not that we're not thankful, we're just too busy to show it. Or it could be that we kind of take it for granted, because after all, isn't that what God's supposed to do? He's in the healing business. He's in the need-meeting business. He's just doing his job. And it's interesting that Luke doesn't say why only one gave thanks. We know that one did. We don't know if the 9 were not thankful. They could have been. They just didn't show it. And so today I want to kind of drill down deeper than just being thankful or saying that you're thankful. But I'm going to challenge you to find ways to show it, right? When it comes to God blessing your life or your parents, if your parents are still alive, your parent helping you, are you more like the 1 or the 9 that were thankful? For you. Or to your coaches, or to your teachers, or to your church leaders, the teenagers. And I just, you know, it wasn't on the agenda, but I asked for Pastor Jack to give me the thanks to you. But I'd like to raise the bar a little bit and talk about how. What? They're supposed to do what they do. That's the attitude. Ungrateful mindsets. We typically focus in on the younger son who took the inheritance to his son, and you know the story. He goes off and squanders it. And he had this mindset, I want it now. Right? Throws a big party for him, and the older son is jealous because he says to his dad in verse 29, he said, "All these years I've been slaving for you and have never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends." Do you hear the tone in that? Is, I deserve more. I deserve better. And we're like that, right? I deserve a better paying job. And if I can't get one, I just won't work. Or I deserve this kind of vacation, and if I can't have it, I'll just charge it. Or I deserve this kind of house like my parents had, who worked long and hard for 20 or 30 years before they had that nice house, and you're wanting it right off the bat, right out of the gate. Not only houses, we do it for cars, we do it for cell phones, we do it for computers, we do it for designer clothes, right? We have this attitude of, I want it now, I want more, I want it better, I deserve better. And so how do we adjust that? How do we change that? How do we switch from having an ungrateful mindset, for whatever reasons, to having a healthy attitude of gratitude? And so I want to share with you three thoughts in the time I have left. If you're taking notes, the question is, how do we cultivate an attitude of gratitude? If you're taking notes, here's number one: decide to turn blessings into praise. You have to make a decision. You have to be intentional about it, to turn your blessings into praise. Anytime God blesses you or a person blesses you, receive it, be thankful for it, but then somehow return that with praise. There's a verse in a song. I don't think we've sung this song in a while, but it goes something like this: every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. And the reason this is important is if we get blessings and we don't return it with praise, it will result in pride, an ungrateful mindset, like the other nine had. Every blessing, every good thing that God gives you, decide to turn back to Him, give Him praise and honor and glory for it. That's one way that you can cultivate an attitude of gratitude and have an attitude like the one versus the nine. Philippians 4, verse 11 says, I have learned. It's something you learn. It's something you practice. I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned, there the word is again, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Notice the word learned. It needs to be learned. It needs to be cultivated. It needs to be developed. Right? If I'm healthy or not, in any situation, if I'm healthy or not, I'm going to be thankful. If I've got money or not, I'm going to be thankful. If I like my job or not, I'm going to be thankful. If I like my hair or not, if I've got hair or not. It's a mindset. And here Paul says that God will give you the ability, the desire, the willingness to do that. Our natural mindset is to be ungrateful. But our intentional mindset, with the help of God, the Holy Spirit, we can be thankful. We can bring gratitude back into play. So that's number one. If you're taking notes, here's number two. Enjoy what you do have rather than what you don't have. When we start getting our eyes on what other people have, when we start looking at things that we don't have or can't afford or whatever it is, that opens up a door to an ungrateful mindset. Ecclesiastes 6:9 says, better what the eye sees than the roving of the appetite. It's a little bit awkward. I think what Solomon was trying to say is it's better to be content with what you have. It's better to enjoy the things that God has put in front of you than roving around, hoping and wishing for something more or better, right? Things you don't have or may never have. Here's a proverb, Proverb 15, verse 15 to 16. The cheerful heart has a continual feast. Better a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil. In other words, if you want to learn the secret of truly being happy, it starts with being happy with what you already have, not what you don't have. I was driving in this morning, I don't know if you made the announcement, but I was driving in this morning, and for, God, 20 years, I've often thought, I drive 40 minutes to get to church one way, and I've often thought, man, I've really been blessed that I've never had car trouble. And this morning was that day. I get to Liberty Hill, and my engine just stops. It started slow. I felt like I lost power steering, and then eventually all the bells and whistles were going off in the dashboard. I think it's maybe a little more serious than that. I don't know, but I knew what I was preaching on, so I had an opportunity to practice what I was going to preach. And the first thing I said was, my truck didn't blow up. Thank you, God. It didn't blow up. And it could have happened on 1431, 40 minutes away, versus happening right outside Liberty Hill, 15 minutes away. And so I was very thankful that my friend Corey Suarez, I could call him. He came and got me and rescued me and brought me to church this morning. But I had an opportunity in that moment to have an attitude of, you know, oh, God, why are you doing this to me? Versus swinging that thing and having an attitude of gratitude. Who knows that we're going to be tested in our circumstances to see what our mindset is. Be grateful for what you do have, and be grateful that you don't have what you could have. Remember the leper? And I'm going through a health situation that many of you know about, and I often think, I wish I didn't have to go through this, but I don't have it as bad as a lot of other people that I know. And I know God's going to use this for His glory and for my good, and we just have to keep our attitude set on being thankful and having an attitude of gratitude, even though the circumstances don't look like they warrant that. So be grateful that God has given you much, much more than you truly deserve. And then here's point number three: appreciate who you have more than what you have. Point two was enjoy what you do have rather than what you don't have, because you could have it a lot worse. Point three is appreciate who you have more than what you have, because in 100 years, this is true for every one of us, whether you're here in the house watching online, in 100 years, what you have won't matter any more. But who you have will, especially when it comes to, do you have Jesus Christ in your life? In 100 years, that's really the only question that's going to be important, is have you given your life to the Lord? Have you invited Him into your life to take control, to forgive you of your sins, and make it possible for you to have eternal life when your life on earth comes to an end? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, Jesus said, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And mammon was a reference to material things, worldly wealth and riches. He said you can't have it both ways. Are you living your life to have as much stuff as you can, or as a priority, are you putting all of your energy and effort in knowing that you have a relationship with the one who will be forever? Knowing that your materialism will not last forever. So if you want to bring gratitude back into play, appreciate who you have more than what you have. On a practical level, daily, put God first, daily. Take time to pray and say, God, thank you for not giving me what I truly deserve. But instead, while I was still a sinner, you gave me what I didn't deserve. You gave me your very best, your one and only perfect Son. We need to be thankful every day that Jesus has saved us and He's called us into His family to serve Him. Daily, you're goal, your purpose should be to show my gratitude to Him. Like the one did, not the other nine, is to show our gratitude. Not just think it in our mind, feel it in our hearts, but to show it in our actions. And so this week we're going to have an opportunity to start practicing what I just preached. You're going to be with family and friends. You're going to be around the table. I'm just hoping and praying that you don't get so busy with all the other celebratory things that we do. We watch football, we eat, we go hunting, whatever it is. Would you make sure that you're like the one and not the nine? Would you make sure this week, and you don't have to wait till Thanksgiving, you can start today. Be like the one. Be thankful. But find a way to show your gratitude. Can I hear a big amen?
Amen.
If you would bow your heads, I want to ask you a question that I typically ask every week, and that is, what do you hear God saying to you through this message today? What area do you struggle with the most when it comes to feeling entitled or being ungrateful? It might be in the area of material things. It might be in the area of your relationships or your circumstances. Would you be willing today just to be honest and come before the Lord and confess that to Him? Say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for being ungrateful, for having a selfish mindset. Forgive me for having the opportunity to show my gratitude, but not doing it. I see the importance of that. And starting today, Lord, I want to get better at showing my gratitude to you and for what you've done for me, but also to others in my life. Would you help me bring gratitude back into play? Your word says to humble oneself. Lord, I choose to humble myself today, to kick pride in the teeth, humble myself, and put into practice what I've heard today about gratitude. Father, forgive us. Forgive all of us for our ungratefulness. Touch our hearts today so that we would quit complaining about what we think we deserve and don't have and start showing gratitude for the things we do have. But more importantly, help us to remember to be more grateful for who we have than for what we have. Give us the desire and strength to bring this virtue back into play so that we'll be blessed and you'll be glorified in Jesus' name. And before we finish and sing another song to show our gratitude, if you've received the Lord's forgiveness, will you make for sure when you sing and when you leave here and throughout the rest of your day, will you find a way to show your gratitude for that? And if you're here today or watching online and you've not received that gift, listen, you can. And the best way to show your gratitude to God is to not reject the gift that He died to give you. The best way to be grateful and thankful is to receive the gift that He died to give you because He loves you so much. Would you not let pride get in the way of saying, I don't need that, I don't want that? Would you humble yourself and say, Lord, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Because you love me so much, you died so that I could live forever. I want that. I would be foolish not to want that. I don't understand it all. But you do. And you're the one giving me the gift. And so I now receive it by faith. The Bible says to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus died for your sins and rose on the third day. He conquered death and made it possible for us to have eternal life. So I want to lead you in a prayer for you to confess with your mouth and believe that in your heart. Just say this, dear Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner and I need salvation. And today I receive, out of a heart of gratitude, I receive your gift that you offer me. I receive it. And I recognize that I don't deserve it. I can't do anything to earn it. It's just a gift from you. It's a grace gift from you. And today I receive that gift for me and my well-being. And for that I say thank you. And for the rest of my life, I'm going to find ways to show it. I'm going to live a life of worship and daily devotion with you. And as you bless me, I pray also, Lord, that you'll be glorified in me returning the blessing to you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, listen, if you prayed that prayer today, and for some reason today was just different, maybe you've prayed it in the past and nothing changed, but today you really feel like the power of the Holy Spirit was mixed into your words and coming from your heart, would you find a way to let me know or let one of our leaders know? We want to celebrate that with you and pray for you. And I've got a book that I want to send you home with that kind of gives you some ideas or instructions on now what do I do? How do I live for God? How do I live a life of gratitude? I want to help you with that. Come and get that book. I love you. Happy Thanksgiving, and I'll see you next Sunday.